Drive Guys, live and local. Every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Big, big, big night here at the Golden One Center. Even bigger than we realized because as you arrive, depending on when you get in today, if you were in here now, you'd see on the huge video board that this is a rivalry game on top of everything else going on, top of everything else at stake, Kyle. Clippers, Kings, I didn't realize. Rivalry game.
Where you been at? Of course, yeah. Man. This is a long-standing rivalry. This goes back all of what? A year? You
know, this goes back to when the Clippers were the Buffalo Braves and the Kings were in Kansas City.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Maybe that's what they're talking about, you know? Who knew? Like, you know, we've been played the Warriors all season long. The Lakers have come through.
Uh-huh.
But this is the one.
Yes.
This is what we call a rivalry. Okay?
Players can be surprised when they come out on the floor and look up and go, whoa, I didn't realize.
Had no idea. Right?
Yeah. We're going to get to what some voters are saying here about Domas' all-league chances in just a moment. Interesting look as some voters sharing their ballots, at least what those ballots look like now. Before we get to that, on the YouTube chat here, we have from Compio, it's close to 3 p.m. Grandpa Whitey needs to take a nap in his rocket ship. I'd get mad about that, but you're too close to the truth, Compio. Thank you. Rajikov, he says, Kyle, he or she, I'm not sure. Kyle, when are you going to start calling games again? I miss you there.
Oh, thank you so much. Tonight, big fella.
Yeah.
I'm on the call tonight. Big game. They're like, we need big game drapes in the building. And so I'm calling tonight's game against the Clippers.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go.
And, you know, we talked to Steven about the 17-year-old with a one handicap.
Yeah.
Manny Tulajet says, Steven, I met that guy.
Yeah, see, that's what I like, man. Our listeners are like a small community.
Yes.
You know, they know each other. They're loyal friends. They, you know, Manny and Compio, they're always on here. Ryan Williams-Art, they're always on listening. And so I appreciate our listeners, man.
Yeah, and Curtis, as far as Westbrook goes, he says, you can say brick and stuff like that, but getting personal, talking about physical attributes, way too far.
Yeah, yeah. Anything personal, I mean – we've had that conversation about Westbrook, and we know he hates it. Why, you know, it's just sports are like a gladiator kind of thing, right? It's like,
yeah, they really are.
It really is. And, you know, especially when the alcohol is flowing too, sometimes fans go a little too far.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. I was just reminded of the fan a couple of years ago when you say the alcohol's flowing and they're going a little too far. Yeah. I'm sorry. I just came to mind. All right. We have three NBA writers who presumably have votes when it comes to the All-League honors. They're sharing their ballots. Also have a couple guys on NBA.com are doing the same thing today. So would you like to hear where they have Domas?
Domas, yes. I would love to. Yeah.
Okay. The three athletic writers, we have Kelly. Is it Kelly Iko?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
He has Domas second-team All-League. Okay. Josh Robbins has Domas second-team All-League.
There you go.
William Guillory does not name Domas first, second, or third-team All-NBA.
Do we know who he has?
Well, he has AD, I believe. So you don't have to do it by
Jokic.
Positions.
That's AD. Yeah. And he's not doing it by positions.
Well, I don't think you have to now, do you? So
I thought you did, actually.
Okay. Like, well, anyway, yeah. I can look it up for you here, but he does not. That's one guy of the three who does not have Domas first, second, or third team.
Okay.
NBA.com, Steve Ashburner has Domas third team All-NBA. And again, these guys say, look, I'm going to wait and see how the season ends, but this is how it would look right now. A guy named Brian Martin has Domas third team All-League. John Schumann has Domas third-team All-League. Michael C. Wright has Domas second-team All-League. And did we talk to Sean Powell? Did we have him on?
We did have Sean Powell on, a friend of show, yes.
Well, not anymore.
He doesn't have Domas
at all?
Does not
have Domas
what?
As an All-League player, first, second, or third team.
What?
Yeah.
Unbelievable. I got to look this up then because I thought you did have to do positions, but maybe not. Let me look this up really quickly because I think, you know, when you look at it, and I've said it before, I think Domas has been the second best center in the entire NBA,
mm-hmm.
you know. And so I think for him to not even be on there, like who else would you put? And then if you say if it's just front court and back court, You know, then it gets dicey. Then, you know, you could throw in, you know, the Tatums of the world, LeBron, like, then it, Durant, then it gets dicey. But I didn't think, I really thought it was still position-wise, and so I need to look that up.
Okay, I think one of the reasons they changed it, if I'm right, is because...
No longer have positional requirements, yeah.
Last year, some of the voters, I guess, looked at it, or maybe it was the Players Union, I don't know, and they said, wait a minute, Embiid and Jokic...
Right,
two
yeah,
great players,
yeah.
But they couldn't both be first-team All-League, and a lot of people thought that
was fun. And I think, Jokic was first-team, but Embiid was MVP. It was kind of weird. And I'm looking at CBS Sports right now and to see where they have Domas. I'm looking at the second team. Wow.
There's some some great players that we're talking
Steph
about.
Steph Curry on third team, Haliburton, Edwards, Rudy Gobert, and Anthony Davis. Come on now, what are we doing? this is ridiculous. And this is an old story about a month ago, but Rudy Gobert over Domantas Sabonis, you know, and they got Domas in the hunt was their last one. I don't see how.
You want to know your Sean Powell? You want to know who he has?
Yeah, let's see.
Okay.
Because if I'm correct, based on this, you got to have a total of 9 front court players ahead of Domas if he's not on first, second, or third. So what do you got?
Sean Powell, first team, Giannis, Luka, Shea, Jokic, and Tatum. Second team, Brunson, Curry, Davis, Durant, Ant-Man. Third team, Booker, Jaylen Brown, Haliburton, LeBron, and Kawhi Leonard.
That's not good. First of all, the Steph Curry thing, like second team for Steph Curry.
Right. That sounds like a scholarship.
Yeah, that's a lifetime achievement award or something like that.
Maybe we can get him on again and talk him out of before he actually votes.
So, all right. See, that's where it gets tricky for Domantas Sabonis then, because now you're throwing in all the forwards. And did he have – who was his third team again? Why do you got it right there?
Yes, I do. Devin Booker, Jaylen Brown, Haliburton, LeBron, and Kawhi Leonard. And here's another one. This is John Schumann. He's got Domantas' third team with Curry, Gobert, Haliburton, and LeBron. Second team is Brunson, Davis, Durant, Edwards, Kawhi. First team is Giannis, Luka, Shea, Jokic, and Tatum, which that's pretty much looks like that's going to be the
– Yeah, that's going to be first team. Yeah, all those guys are going to be first team. I just – if he doesn't make All-NBA, my whole thing is always, all right, who are you going to take off? Do you take off Kawhi this year? Anthony Davis? LeBron? Like, how can, in my opinion, the second best center not be an All-NBA? And maybe it's just the way the game is now. It's more of a perimeter-oriented game. But I think that would be criminal. That would be blasphemous. That would be worse than the All-Star snub, I think. Like, All-NBA? Like, this guy is in the category of Wilt Chamberlain, and he's not being recognized for it.
Yeah.
And these are people that have votes, too. That's what scares me.
Yeah, exactly.
These aren't just random yahoos. These guys actually have a say in this, and that bothers me.
Yeah, and I'm trying to find, let's see, this Guillory, William Guillory, the Athletic. First team, Jokic, Shea, Giannis, Luka, Tatum. Okay, second team, Ant-Man, Brunson, Kawhi, Anthony Davis, Durant. Third team, he's got Haliburton, Curry, Maxey, Brown, and Zion Williamson.
Ahead of him.
Really? Domas. Uh-huh. But most of the voters/writers sharing their ballots, the majority of them have Domas at least third team. The majority of them.
Oh, my gosh. So I'm on SI. Oh, wait, no, this is a fan a fan-run site. I was about to say, they had Victor Wembanyama third team. And I'm like, what are we doing here? What's going on? I do think, Domas is probably going to get fleeced again, get snubbed again, which is it's unbelievable.
I think I would feel like if he makes third team, that's an accomplishment, but I would still feel like he deserves second team.
I think exactly. And, it's tough, like we said, because it's no longer by position. That makes it more difficult. That brings in the Kawhis of the world. And where do they list Jaylen Brown? Jaylen Brown's a four now listed. And so I think it's tough, but I still think no matter what, he should be there, in my opinion.
Don't you think that we have to get inside the heads of the voters, too, or try to? If you have a voter who already maybe even subconsciously, they're predispositioned not to give the Kings credit. Okay, that right. person, that voter, is less likely to go Domas if they end up playing poorly down the stretch and are just in the play-in. Whereas if they play great and they're one of the top six, it's like, well, then you'd have to
presumably
give him a ton of credit for that.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, to that point, people are looking for reasons not to include Domas.
Yeah,
the fact that they aren't a top 16.
Right.
See, that's why I didn't, you know, that's their reasoning. Yeah, you're right about that. So it's, all he could do is just keep doing his thing, man. You know, I mean, the records that he's putting up, and night in and night out. Let me ask you this real quickly here. Let's say Anthony Davis is a center. Is Domas having a better season than Anthony Davis?
Yes.
Okay, bam, there you go.
Don't you think so?
I agree. It could be argued Davis is scoring more, but Domas is rebounding more. Domas is assisting more.
And Domas is every night.
Every night. I will say AD has only missed like three or four games this
season.
Like, he's been out there.
But he's been more up and down, I would say, than Domas has been.
Yeah, exactly.
His highs have been higher, but his lows have been
lower. And that, you know, that's what frustrates me, because out of all the All-NBA stuff that you just read me, a lot of those guys have Anthony Davis on there.
Yes,
not Domantas Sabonis.
Notice that, My hope is that if Domas doesn't make one of the All-League teams, that our next guest will lead us all in a march on league offices. We'll ask him if he'll do that when Jerry Reynolds joins us next. Drive, guys, on Sacktown Sports.
The Drive Guys, powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sacktown Sports.
Great Whitey coming to you from, of course, the Golden One Center. We were just taking a look at how the voting is apparently going for all league teams. Domas looks like he's in pretty good shape, but there are a few potential voters who are not listing him on any of their all league teams. If Domas misses out on all league honors, will our next guest lead us all in a march on league offices? Let's find out. Nice stuff to join us once again. All-time Kings icon, the great Jerry Reynolds. How are you, Jerry?
Well, pretty good, Grandpa. there's that, you know. Yeah, I was listening to you and Kyle, and I would say, I kind of like you guys were talking about. To me, they've got to have three teams with three centers. It's just not fair to centers. I mean, I think with the rules of the game today, I mean, if there's ever a position that's being underappreciated, it's a center position. So, I certainly think Domas deserves it, whether it's second or third team. I wouldn't get into a argument about it, but you know, his numbers speak for themselves, and then once you get past his numbers, there's nobody in the league that plays as hard as he does every night, every minute, every play. There just isn't.
Jerry Reynolds joining us here on the Drive Guys, the legend himself. Jerry, let's talk about this current iteration of the Sacramento Kings. It was a rough week last week. The loss of Herder, Malik Monk, that news came out, and then the two losses to Dallas. As a coach, when you lose star players like that, key members of your team, what's your message to the rest of the squad? Are you looking for one guy to step it up? Are you looking for the team as a collective to step it up? What's your message as a coach?
Well, let's just not show up. We'll pack it in. We'll wave your white flag.
All right, we're done.
Since I never had a star, so in the league of stars. But anyway, yeah, well, I mean, it is the old next man up. There's no doubt about it. And Mike Brown, I think, does this good. You know, he's getting guys playing hard and playing together. And, the loss of Herder, you know, hurt him, but it wasn't as bad. You know, they could sort of make up for that with certainly Davion and certainly Keon Ellis. But, I think also the loss of Lyles hurt him really more than people realized. But then Monk, mm-hmm. I mean, you know, no one player can make up for Malik Monk. I mean, the bottom line is he's the third best player on the team.
Yeah. The great Jerry Reynolds joining us, and thank you for the grandpa crack, Jerry. I do appreciate that. Now, not making excuses, but how much fun has it been for you to have this team playing meaningful games in April 2 years in a row? And I know that people had high expectations this year, and I get that, and right now there's a lot of uncertainty, but these games matter, and it's 2 years in a row, and for those of us who have been around the Kings for a long time, I mean, that's pretty cool, isn't it?
It is very cool. I really enjoy this team. I mean, I know they've had games where I didn't enjoy them. I'm not going to say that. You know, you guys sat through the same games I have. But, I mean, it's a good team. It's a winning team. They've got some top-flight players, well-coached. I mean, the West is just so good. And it's one of those things, I'm not really surprised. Quite honestly, I thought looking at the talent in the West, if other teams were healthy, I thought the Kings would have a tough time, you know, certainly staying in the top four. And I thought they had a chance of six. Of course, they still do. But, mm-hmm. but I mean, just the talent level, I mean, especially like Dallas at the deadline added two starters. And right. Phoenix added a key guy, Royce O'Neal. And so, you know, that's tough. You know, that's tough.
Jerry, you know, one of the things, here we are, you know, sitting on 43 wins. And, you know, we've talked all season long about how, yes, last year they were the 3 seed, made it to the playoffs. But, you know, it's not linear, the growth of a team. And we look at Denver and, you know, how they, you know, sort of two steps forward, one step back, two step, and then they finally got over the hump. Speak to just the journey of trying to craft a championship team and how really each season it's its own individual thing.
Yeah, I can really make a good case. I always remember 1998, 99, I think it was, the first year the Kings really became good with Jason Williams and Webb and Divock and those guys. The team was in a lockout season. It was 27-23 and played the great Utah Jazz team at that time to is a 5-game series, but right to the wire and had a short bloody hook to finish them, but he missed it. And so there's that. So the next season, the team was actually better, probably, but won 44 games, probably a little disappointing, and then got swept by the Lakers in 4 straight.
Wow.
And so, you know, fans were a little down, but it was part of the process. And the next year, a few additions and subtractions, and the team won 55. And then, of course, had about 5 years in the 50s after that, or even 61. So, your point, Kyle, you're exactly right. It's a process. You know, you can't know what you need until you go through it. And then the experience of going through it, you know, makes you aware of what guys, you know, or guys that you want to pick with and build around.
Jerry Reynolds, our guest here. You know, Jerry, without Malik, the Kings came at the Jazz with a very balanced attack Sunday. Harrison Barnes says, you know, they need to trust the pass and trust the movement and the offense going forward, which I understand, but how much tougher is it to do that against a team like the Clippers tonight?
Well, it would be a lot tougher if Kawhi Leonard plays. I guess somebody was supposedly out tonight, which is great.
Yes, he's out.
One of the 3 or 4 makers in the league. Oh, him healthy like Adetokounmpo or Jokic or LeBron, I think. You know, he's that category because he changes the game on both ends. And so, at least, you know, there is that. They can't replace him. And in my mind, the Kings, they got to come out and just play as aggressive as they can. Take their, you know, you hope they're making their threes and, you know, get the ball moving. You know, get them all ball moving, kind of stay away from over dribbling, which we see a little bit at times. So just stay away from it. Mm-hmm. I think they'll have a chance, a good chance.
Hey, Jerry, when you look at, you know, the Kings and the makeup of the team, and, you know, I was obviously heartbroken over Friday's loss to the Dallas Mavericks. And I said on the postgame show, our stars have to play like stars. In the NBA, to advance, to be a good team, to be a great team, and specifically here in Sacramento, do we need Fox and Sabonis to be stars every night?
Yes. I think so. Yeah. Yeah, Kyle, very good point. Yes, they do.
I know what I'm talking about, Jerry. I know a little bit about basketball. I know what I'm talking about here.
Oh, you do. I'm becoming a fan of you. So,
thank you.
And so, yeah, it's a star league. You know, I mean, the teams that win big have some of the best players in the league on their team. It's been that way throughout history. And sadly, I know about history. You know, I remember Oscar Robertson and Jerry Lucas, guys like that.
Yeah, I mean, I got some. I got an update on Jerry Lucas today, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I've been trying to track down Jerry Lucas. But speaking of stars, Jerry, this is an opportunity once again for Keegan, right? We saw it against the Jazz. There should be more shots available. Mike Brown keeps telling him, be aggressive, and now be more aggressive than we told him to be already. There's an opportunity, though, isn't there, for Keegan Starr to really rise in the last eight games of the regular season?
There is, and, you know, he needs to grasp it, and certainly his teammates need to look for him more, help him. You know, I mean, the guy has he does have the talent to be that third guy. He could, you know, at this stage of the season, he's capable of being an 18 to 20 point guy every night. And that's what they need. You know, I mean, you don't have Monk. So really, I think he in particular is the key guy. And I mean, it's great to see Harrison Barnes being more aggressive, too. I think both those guys can make a difference. So, yeah, it really is a case where Keegan, I think, has the ability, you know, to do some things, more things, just as with his skill set. And, you know, he's a guy who just keeps getting better and better. I just think he's terrific. I think he'll, you know, like I've said many times, his first 2 years, he's been better than Tejas Stojakovic was. I don't know if he's going to be better in year five, but he might be, but just at some point you got to give him his due. The guy, he was a great pick, and there's nothing not to like about him. You know, I always go say though, I hear people criticize the Keegan and they'll say, well, he doesn't show any emotion. Oh, I said, well, then you wouldn't have liked Tim Duncan much.
Yeah, you're right about that. All he did was give you buckets and give you rebounds and block shots and win titles. And
No, you got to pound the chest after every shot and pull your jersey and all that. Right. Well, some guys don't really have to do that.
No, you're right. Hey, Jerry, are you a fan of the play-in tournament? Right now, the Kings are in eighth spot. And what do you think about the play-in and the difference between being a top six team or having to be in a play-in to go against a Phoenix maybe or a Lakers or a Golden State? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I was certainly against the play-in originally, but I actually like it a lot. You know, the one-game kind of scenario and certainly in the West with all the good teams. And then keep in mind, you know, the Lakers were in the play-in last year and went to the Western Finals, and the Heat were in the play-in and went to the NBA Finals. So there is a pathway, you know. There's so much balance in the league. It's really kind of who gets a hot hand and is healthy, probably as much as anything in the playoffs. So you'd rather be sixth in the top six, but doesn't mean you can't get it done. And it's not like I always say with the Kings, as frustrated as sometimes we all get, they've got a winning record against the top three teams in the West. So there is that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's always Jerry Reynolds for us whenever we ask. Jared, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Great catching up with you. We appreciate your insight, and we'll talk to you again real soon, sir.
Well, enjoyed it, and bring home the win, guys. Let's get it done.
You got it.
We'll do our part. That's for sure. Right. Yes.
Thanks, Jerry.
Oh,
yes.
Will.
Yeah.
All right, Jerry.
Take care,
right,
Coach.
Man.
We always appreciate it very, very much. Kings icon, Jerry Reynolds. Yeah, he mentioned Jerry Lucas, and I do a Jerry Lucas update before we're done today. When we come back, speaking of the play-in thing, can the Kings climb out of the play-in? And another reason why coming out of the play-in gets a little tricky, Kyle. We'll have that when we come back to the Golden One Center on Sactown Sports.
Drive Guys, live and local, every afternoon, Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Well, the pressure's on now. Jerry Reynolds, Kings icon, telling us to bring home the win tonight, Graves. I know you got a lot on your plate doing the game and everything, but now we've got that on our shoulders. Jerry Reynolds is expecting us to bring home a win tonight.
Oh, yeah. We'll bring our A game. We'll be fired up. We'll be ready. I am a little nervous, though. I'm a little worried. Because I was just downstairs, went and got some popcorn, got a drink. Russell Westbrook walked into the building, focused, headphones on. Like, what's up, Russ? Straight ahead, didn't break stride. And so he looks locked in. I just saw him like 30 seconds ago.
That's because someone told him it was a rivalry game.
Right. Why is he here so early, though? It's 3:30.
I don't know.
That's pretty early, right?
I remember one time in the old building, there was a benefit, like some sort of charity basketball game. And it was media people against, I think, like firefighters.
Okay.
And we're playing really early about this time. Yeah. You know, we weren't very good. And Karl Malone was there because they were playing the Jazz.
Oh.
Karl Malone comes out, and he's watching. And I remember looking over and seeing Karl Malone, and he's just like, shaking his head like, no, that's not how you do it.
Really? Oh, man. Did you try to get out of your, like did you
no,
try to show off? And
I didn't.
Show
I didn't.
The hand on the
I was like, I
got to
get my bag. Where's my bag?
Right,
I don't have a bag.
You have a bag with you.
Mailman, I don't have a bag.
Oh, man. That's funny.
But yeah, that is pretty early for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it is really early. 3:30.
Wonder if we'll see him out here first chance.
Yeah,
he
he'll probably might be the first one. You know, Kyrie was early last week, too. Kyrie was out here at like 3:45 or so, warming up. I know he's routinely early, but Russ is in the building. He's
mm-hmm,
ready.
Mm-hmm. I think we decided yesterday that if the Kings do end up like seventh, I mean, obviously we still want them to finish out of the play-in. That would be great, and it's an achievable goal. Mm-hmm. But if they finish seventh, we'd probably feel okay about that, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Uh-huh.
I think so, yeah.
Well, here's another thing that makes the play-in tricky, and I'd forgotten about this, but it's just obviously the math of it. The play-in is the 16th through the 19th, and then the playoffs start on the 20th. So I know last year they gave teams that played right on the last day of the play-in, they gave them a day, but then you start the playoffs. Like, you're in the play-in,
on the road,
and then
too.
You have a day to travel, then you start the playoffs.
Yeah. But, you know, maybe that's a good thing. You look at the Miami Heat. They lost their first game, won their second, and then they just kept going. You know,
and they went to Milwaukee, and they won the first game of that series.
Exactly. You're in a rhythm. You don't have a week off to get out of rhythm or something like that. And so hopefully the Kings can catch some momentum here and get going. I mean, but they still can get the six seed, right?
Yes.
We're talking play-in, and that has not been decided as of yet.
Well, things worked out the way you wanted then, right? Because Phoenix, and I said, oh, I want the Pelicans to win. But the Suns took care of the Pelicans, so that did bring the Pelicans back a little closer to the Kings.
Yeah, exactly. And you still play them, and I understand the tiebreakers is what it is. But right now, you're a game and a half behind the Pelicans. You win tonight, that'll be a game behind the Pelicans. And you still have one more against them. And so I think, you know, the Mavericks might not be the team we're trying to catch here. You know,
mm-hmm.
They're playing extremely well. And, you know, obviously they have a tough game tonight against Golden State. But, you know, the Pelicans might be the team we'll be able to catch. They have the tiebreaker. That's the thing that hurts. So, really, you know.
They have it many times over.
Yeah, many times. Like, they can lose the next two, the next three, and still have it. Think about that. Like, they beat you four times this season. But, no, I think the sixth spot is still in play. You just got to play your best basketball of the season right now,
mm-hmm.
man. You can't lose. You know, the margin for error is zero right now if you're Sacramento.
Yeah, so you got the Clippers tonight, then you go on the road, you got the Knicks in Boston. That's a back-to-back, right?
Yeah.
Then you play, that's Thursday, Friday, then Sunday at Brooklyn. That's a winnable game.
Winnable game,
yeah.
Yes.
Then you got to go finish up the road trip at OKC. Then you come back home, and then New Orleans, Phoenix at home. But those are also, isn't that also a back-to-back?
Yeah, that's a Thursday, Friday back-to-back. Yes.
Then you got Sunday to wrap up the regular season with Portland, so... It's not an easy stretch there, but there's a few wins in there at least.
Yeah.
And that's why, like you said, they really, really need to win tonight.
Right. You got to win tonight. And I'm looking at this Pelicans schedule. They got one against Phoenix still. So, you know, one of those games will help you, you know, whether Phoenix losing or Pelicans losing, that'll help you out. They have one against the Lakers, one against the Warriors. But they have the 21st most difficult schedule. And so I think if you're Sacramento, man, you just got to – I hate to say win out, you know, because that's a difficult task. But you got Knicks and Boston. At worst, I need 6-2 out of this team to finish out this season.
Yesterday, when you were talking about the importance of this game, and you talked about, well, if you don't win this, that's the most. I don't want to say negative because you were just being realistic, but that's the first time I've heard you be that realistic about the Kings. Let me put it that way.
You know what my problem is, and I gotta. You know, give my guys more credit. I'm not optimistic about New York and Boston. That back-to-back scares me. And so that's why I say this game is so important. You know, if you win tonight and lose the next two, it hurts, no doubt about it, you know. But then you can beat Brooklyn. You know, you've beaten OKC. I think when you look at the schedule, the New York-Boston back-to-back, that's arguably the toughest two games in a row that you'll have the entire season. Hey, lunch is served, big fella. Lunch is served. Tell Selena thank you. Lunch is served. RJ was like, where's it at? What's going on here? Thank you.
Yeah, I knew you had you. You're checking for something.
Yeah,
looking for the screen.
I know,
like, where's
right?
the screen coming? Yeah.
Let's see what we got here. But, it's so I'm not optimistic about that Thursday-Friday East Coast matchup with the Knicks in Boston.
What do you think of this from your boy Compio on the chat?
Uh-oh.
Keegan is the key. Take his shot, score the basketball, 23 to 29
Ooh.
Points a game. Step up and be, in caps, the man.
Ooh.
23 to 29
That's
a game.
I'll take that. I'll take that. That's all-star caliber then. But he's the number four pick. Like, and the thing about Keegan, too, he scores without really, how should I put this, breaking a sweat. Like, he can get points pretty quickly.
Catch and shoot, even catch on his drives, shoot. Like catching them, zoom,
right,
gone.
Exactly. It's not like he has to work hard, get in his bag or anything like that. And you know, two defenders he got to weave past. Like, I think ultimately with Keegan, it's just being aggressive, man, getting the shots up, not blending in, not just standing in the corner. Be aggressive, get the shots up. So Compio says 23 to 29 points a game. I think he could do that if he takes 15.
You're going higher?
Tonight.
You're going higher than that?
For tonight? Or just
I don't know.
No.
I don't know.
I'm not going
you
there.
Tell me.
But how about this? Why do you take 15 shots? Let's say you hit 9 of them. A couple of them threes.
Yes.
You got 21. Get to the foul line 6 times. Then, man, you're at what Compio is talking about. And so it can be done. Keegan just has to be aggressive.
Here's one of the things I'm watching for the rest of the way. We know that Malik was having a great year. But there were times this offense kind of had a split personality. They'd run the offense, especially last year it was true. You'd see him run the offense through Domas for three quarters, and then it was Fox time in the fourth quarter.
Yep.
This year, sometimes it was Fox time, sometimes it was Malik time, because those guys would look around and recognize, I'm going to have to get this done. But they would tend to be a little ball dominant. And I'm not saying they're selfish, but the offense would shift from passing movement to sometimes Malik, sometimes De'Aaron, being a little over dribbling at times or just dribbling the ball a lot. Now, with Malik out, I think it's going to be more reliant on the player movement, ball movement, and I think as a result, Keegan is going to just naturally have an opportunity to take more shots.
Yeah, you're right, and because Keegan's not Malik or not De'Aaron. You know, he's not going to catch the ball and, like we said, try and go one-on-one a whole lot. Now he doesn't have to stand and watch those guys late in the fourth quarter. And it's something Harrison Barnes talked about yesterday in the sound that we ran. The offense, you know, they're going to rely on the offense a lot more now and not just the individual talent. And hopefully, you know, Keegan will be the beneficiary of that. Mm-hmm. We saw that the other day, him and HB.
Yeah.
You know, more opportunities.
When we come back, how the Kings were. How about this? They were actually bit players in the whole Jontay Porter thing.
Ooh.
Tell you how next. With the Drive Guys. So we get ready for the rivalry matchup tonight, the Kings and the Clippers from the Golden One Center on Sactown Sports.
The Drive Guys powering your afternoons Monday through Friday on Sactown Sports.
Just want to update you on what's going on baseball-wise for Sacramento. According to this, you say this Carmichael Dave guy is a reliable source on Twitter?
I don't know about that. I need to check his references, check his sources. I'm not sure about that.
Okay. Well, take this with a grain of salt if you think that's prudent. But Carmichael Dave reporting that Oakland and the A's still quite a ways apart. Oakland and the A's met today. They meet with Sacramento tomorrow, tweets Dave. All signs point to a deal being struck and an announcement either end of week or early next week. Again, that's according to Sacktown Sports' Carmichael Dave.
And we're not sure when he says a deal being struck if that means with Sacramento or with Oakland, right?
I think it's implied that it's here, Sacramento, that it's with right? Sacramento.
Buckle up, I say.
Uh-huh.
This could be a very interesting week, you know, and as we say that, there's your guy, Russell Westbrook.
Uh-huh, you're right.
First one on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Man.
He's ready.
He's locked in. He's
yeah.
focused. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of those guys, you know, guys get, and certainly, you know, being a grandfather, I know, get a little older. It takes you a little longer to get everything loose. Remember?
Everything looped up.
You were doing one of the shows from L.A., and you're
LeBron
like, LeBron's out there already.
Yeah, it was like 3:30 or so.
Yeah.
Like right now. And he was out there. I was like, my gosh, that's super early. Like, how do you warm up, and then how do you get yourself warm again
mm-hmm.
for game time, you know?
Uh-huh.
This is his routine, I guess.
One more quick baseball note.
Yeah.
You being a TV guy, maybe you heard about this. I'd never heard of this before. You know, last night the Giants played the Dodgers, and the Dodgers cuffed them around pretty good. Mm-hmm. Sunday night, the Dodgers were on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN, mm-hmm. and they had Kike Hernandez. He had a microphone on. So I believe he's playing third base, and he's doing an interview. Well, that was fine, except he also had the pitch comm speaker on because, you know, the fielders want to know
right.
what pitch is coming. But a viewer noticed that as he was talking, you could hear what pitch was coming
no
through
way.
His speaker.
Oh, my God.
And someone's like, hey, you got to stop the interview. Now, I don't know if it timed out, you know, because sometimes that's on a delay.
Right.
So
right.
I don't know if literally the Cardinals could have been in the dugout
listening
watching TV going, hey, curveball. I don't know.
No
but,
way.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That's the worst, right? you would think that'd be something they checked on beforehand or something like they thought about. Man, that's crazy.
It's just funny because, of course, that's the whole reason why they have pitch comm to prevent that
right,
from happening.
Right, so you don't tip those off. Instead, it's being broadcast to the world.
Yeah, I think somebody on Twitter is like, stop the interview! Stop the interview! But I guess nothing came of it. So, Giants and Dodgers again tonight. I mentioned Jontay Porter.
Yeah.
Did you know that the Kings, maybe you did this game, did you do the game March 20th, the Kings and the Raptors?
Was that game?
That was there, I think, wasn't
yeah,
it?
I was there, yeah.
Well, the Kings played a bit part in this whole thing. January 3rd, Porter made his Raptors debut. He played 7 minutes.
Yeah.
He scored no points, right? 3 rebounds.
Yep.
Oh, okay. Nothing to notice there. 3 weeks later, game against the Clippers, January 26th, the betting activity on all his on prop bets involving him,
mm-hmm.
specific player stats, rebounds, threes, spiked. Bettors were taking the under on his props to a degree that DraftKings flagged the irregularities, according to ESPN. In some cases, 5-figure wagers were placed on Porter props.
Wow. Okay.
He then left that game just 4 minutes in, citing the re-aggravation of an eye injury,
right? Yep.
He apparently suffered in the game prior. January 26th, the under on three-pointers made by Porter was the biggest moneymaker of the night for DraftKings bettors.
Mm.
March 20th against the Kings. Similar thing happened with Porter Bets on DraftKings. There was a regular activity. Large amounts of money were wagered, and Porter, once again, scoreless, left the game early with an illness.
Did. I do remember him leaving the game early. Yes, I do remember that. And I think we announced it right after halftime that Dante Porter.
Yeah, wow. Effectively guaranteeing a win for anyone who took an under on him. In the games under investigation, Porter did not crack 8 minutes once. He has been out for personal reasons why the investigation continues. So why was this so irregular for players' prop bets to pay out? The player must enter the game. And in the games under investigation, the sizes of some of the prop bets attempted on Porter suggested people may have been extremely confident that they would hit.
Right, right.
It's like, wait, why are people betting all this money on this guy, on the under?
Why bet on him at all? Like,
yeah.
Like, even a dollar. Like, who would think Jonte Porter, ooh, that's a good, you know, I don't know. Like, how does he come? Yeah, and so, and like you said, DraftKings said it was their biggest moneymaker that night. Like, you know, biggest payout, cash out of the night. Yeah, that's fishy big time.
Oh, yeah. So one of the questions now is, well, okay, who is placing these bets? And that's not clear yet, but it looks like it was kind of unsophisticated. In other words, according to this story, if it was, you know, say, organized crime or whoever, they'd be a little more subtle about it.
Right.
This was somebody who didn't realize if you bet like that, people are going to notice it, and it's going to get flagged. So some have said, you know what, he's a guy with kind of a – he's always looking for a financial edge. He's a smart guy about, you know, investments and things. So some people think, okay, he saw this opportunity to make some money, and he pursued it through friends or whatever. We don't know.
But you would think that he would be smart enough to know.
Right.
Especially being in the NBA, like, those things get flagged. Like, you would think he would know that. And it's super fishy, though. The fact that he left both games early.
With an illness.
Like, that.
You know, he thought, score it.
Right.
Ching.
Score it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, coach.
My eye is twitching.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, he's over
there. And he's sitting there, ching.
And I know he's a rookie, and I know he doesn't make a whole lot of money, but, you know, what, for $10,000, $20,000, you're doing that? Maybe throwing away your career? You know, because the NBA is a no tolerance when it comes to gambling on their own sport. And so it'll be interesting what comes out of this investigation.
Yeah, and it looks like, someone was just ignorant to the fact that sports books have these algorithms now where anything that's a little bit out of whack, they're going to catch. And this was way out of bounds.
Yeah, so that kind of, you know, money coming in on Jonte Porter when it hasn't, like, just all of a sudden out of random, oh, my gosh, people are heavy on Jonte tonight. What the heck's going on? That's an immediate flag.
Yeah.
Before the game even begins. Looking for some irregularities.
So his only chance here would be just to come clean completely, right? Like, he can't say, I don't know. He's got to just say, look, here's what happened. Here's what I did. I didn't actually bet. I don't know what he can say, but I think the truth is his truth, quickest path to some kind of salvation.
Yeah, I don't know, man, because it'll always be a money trail, or, you know.
Yeah.
But I think he's done. Like, if he admits this, it's done. You can't have that in the NBA.
All right, so there's a story. So you remember that game, huh?
I do, and I remember him not coming back. We get the word. Jonte Porter will not return.
When we return, tell you about the King who is a finalist for an NBA award. Next from the Golden One Center with the Drive guys on Sactown Sports.